Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Kotzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Brain, I need to ask you a question right off the top.
Yeah.
Are the housewives still housewifing right now? Is that like a thing that is still going on?
Oh, the housewife season is year-round, baby.
Okay, see, this is where you have a distinct advantage over me, because I am a big sports guy, and we are just getting through what is, for me, the absolute worst part of the calendar year. And it's that period of, it's just a couple of weeks between the time where the Super Bowl ends and spring training baseball starts. Now, I mean, the regular season NBA is not something that I can focus on at all because it's almost completely meaningless for me. I do enjoy watching the NHL, so I can take in a little NHL. I am a big soccer guy, so there's lots of soccer. I mean, soccer never stops. It's going on, although we're also in that buildup right before the MLS season starts. So that hasn't happened yet. But like, this is like the driest of dry spells for me. We're in the weeks post-Super Bowl, pre-baseball. But we've made it because baseball, spring training starts. We got games later this week. So we've made it through. But this is where I'm envious for you, because you got fresh housewives, it seems like, every week.
Well, yeah, the thing is that we're coming down the stretch right now of, like, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City just had an epic season, and that came to its conclusion a couple weeks ago, and Miami is another top-tier franchise that is coming down the home stretch, and Beverly Hills, which right now is at a really high level, is also coming down their home stretch. And so when those end, there will be other Housewives seasons. And then there's a couple of other shows that, you know, some people really like. I don't particularly get into on Bravo.
Wait, so you're telling me you're not completely all in on the Housewives cinematic universe?
I'm completely in on the Housewives. But then there's other things. There's like Vanderpump Rules. There's Southern Charm. There's this Winter House and there's Summer
House. That's the ersatz Housewives. Yeah.
I do like me some Below Deck, which, you know, Below Deck is like all season long because there's like four innovations or, you know, different, you know, franchises within just Below Deck. But at any rate, what we're coming out of is this epic season that we've had, where we had definitely the three best of the franchises, the best Housewives franchises, all on at the same time. And now we're going to get some lower tier Housewives and some other shows. So I can empathize with you. I still have Housewives, you know, like I could still watch soccer or hockey, or you could still watch soccer or hockey or regular season basketball, but it doesn't hit the same, you know,
right.
Football season hits different.
That's right. It's its own beast. But listen, as much as, even though our good friend Brian is in the chat talking about how he's so happy to be here listening to us talk about, well, listening to you, you know, wax nostalgic about the Housewives, that's not what we're here to talk about here. We're here to talk about the Miami Dolphins, and we're going to continue our conversation about key players on the Dolphins roster that they've got decisions to make about. And today we're talking Jerome Baker and Xavien Howard. So before we do that, a reminder to everybody, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can download, rate, review, and subscribe to every episode of the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere that you find your podcast. You can, if you haven't done so already, like this video, hit that thumbs up. We appreciate it. If you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, if you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, shout out to all of you. We appreciate you. Make sure you head over to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, hit subscribe, turn on notifications so you know when we go live. And make sure you're following closely because there's lots of good stuff coming down the pike over there on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And then last but not least, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins all through the offseason, because big news is coming soon. Whether it's going to be news you're happy about or news you're not happy about, the fact is, it's going to be big news. It's going to be big Miami Dolphins news, and it's coming soon. So be ready. We're going to be talking about it at DolphinsTalk.com. Brian, let's go into this today. We're going to start with continuing. This is our, and just a programming note for everybody, this is the last of our individual player shows. I mean, it's not even an individual player show because we're talking about two players, but we've talked about a number of different players that the Dolphins are going to have to make decisions on. Christian Wilkins, Tua Tagovailoa, Andrew Van Ginkle. Who else have we talked about, Brian?
We talked about Robert Hunt, Connor Williams.
Connor Williams. Right. We've talked about all those guys. So now we're going to talk about Baker. We're going to talk about Howard. There's a bunch of other players that we're going to talk about next week on the show. And then we're going to really dive into what the Dolphins are going to look to do in free agency. So we're not going anywhere. We're sticking with you here at the same old Dolphin show. But today we're starting with Jerome Baker and Xavien Howard. Let's start with Jerome Baker. Brian, I'm going to lean on you to explain what the implications are financially for the Miami Dolphins. And again, I want to put this out there that we are not professional capologists. The Brain is a very smart man. He's doing a lot of really great things. He's studied up. He's done the math. But we're not professional capologists. So if we get a little something wrong here or there, don't jump down our throats. It's not the end of the world. Nobody's going to die, right? So relax. But Brain, let's talk about Jerome Baker. What is the deal with Jerome Baker as things stand right now? Jerome Baker, who is was for quite a while like one of the guys that made up the heart and soul of this Miami Dolphins defense.
Yeah, well, I think even this past year, Jerome Baker was your number one linebacker. He was the guy playing the lion's share of the snaps before he gets injured in the Washington game. He comes back in the Buffalo game, makes what could have been the biggest play of that game right before halftime. But ultimately, the Dolphins' failure to do anything on offense and, you know, giving up a big-time punt return, ultimately, and then Jerome Baker actually getting injured in the second half of that game, playing through it, but ultimately getting injured and ending his season as the Dolphins fall in that game to Buffalo. You know, ends up negating what would have been, you know, a play that we look back at and said that was the play that won the Miami Dolphins the division. But that's not the way it played out. Jerome Baker was this team's best linebacker this season. For all the talk about David Long coming in, and, you know, David Long definitely proved his worth and proved to be a really good value at what they got him for, at what they signed him for. But at the end of the day, Jerome Baker was this team's best linebacker. He was their signal caller. There's a lot of value in Jerome Baker as a player, and he's 28 years old, so he's still in the prime of his career. This is a guy that can still play, and I think there's still a lot of value. Now, before we get into, like, his contract and, you know, the financial implications, the salary cap, you know, implications, I just want to kind of reiterate where I'm at going into this offseason. That, remember, the Dolphins right now are almost $52 million over the cap. They've got to get under the cap by the start of the NFL league year, which is less than a month away.
But I do want to interject here, Brain, that the cap is, according to a report from NBC today, the cap is expected to be around $250 million.
Okay. So even if that's the case, then you can basically, you know, these numbers are based on the projected cap from overthecap.com at a little over $243 million. So if the cap is $7 million more than that, then instead of the Dolphins being roughly $52 million over the cap, then they're actually only $45 million over the cap. And you can kind of take those numbers and adjust to whatever I say here over the next couple of minutes. My belief, what I want to see the Dolphins do, I don't necessarily think this is what the Dolphins are going to do, but this is how I would approach this offseason, would be lock up your best players, as many of your best players as possible, get them under contract, and then you figure out the cap and you figure things out and you can do restructures down the road. But I'm locking up my best players because those are the guys that I'm building around. Those are my quote unquote pillars that I'm building around. So if you listened to our previous shows, you know who I'm keeping, who I'm not keeping. If you didn't, you can go back and listen to the reasons why, but I'm telling you, I'm extending Tua. I'm extending Christian Wilkins. I'm giving a long-term deal to both Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, but I'm moving on from Andrew Van Ginkel. And that takes us to Xavien Howard and Jerome Baker, who are the two next best players that the Dolphins have to make big decisions on. Now, before they make the decisions on these guys, understand that these moves are going to be made. Bradley Chubb is going to be restructured. Tyreek Hill is going to be restructured. Jalen Ramsey is going to be restructured. Emmanuel Ogba is going to get cut. I think they're probably going to extend or restructure Zach Sealer because that's going to save him about $4.7 million. He's not going anywhere, so there's no reason not to restructure him. And then you save basically almost $3 million a piece by moving on from both Keon Crossan and Jeff Wilson Jr. By doing those moves, real quick.
This is good. Live math is always live math. Very exciting.
Yes, I love this. I only wish that I could show you I guess I could have done a visual aid, but I didn't.
Slacker, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You're fully in off-season mode.
Just by doing those moves, with the salary cap projected to be at about $243 million, the Dolphins would have roughly $18 million in cap space. Now, if the cap's going to be $250 million, then that's actually about $25 million in cap space, which is, you could do a lot with $25 million in cap space. But that said, we know at this point, it's all but a foregone conclusion that unless they really cannot come to an agreement on the numbers, the Dolphins are going to come to a contract extension with Tua Tagovailoa. And by doing that, depending on how they structure it, his cap number of 23, what is it supposed to be this? It's supposed to be 23.1 million. The likely first year cap number that he's going to be at is going to be somewhere around 7 to 10 million. So you're going to save yourself about 13 to 16 million. And all of a sudden, just by doing that, we're at, on the low end, $31 million in cap space based on a $243 million cap, which if it's going to be $250 million, we're at about $38 million in cap space. So we're already at almost $40 million in cap space before they've made a decision on Jerome Baker. So that brings us to Jerome Baker. And my question is, first off, can you stomach Jerome Baker at $9.8 million this year, knowing that if you cut him, you're going to save, you know, about $9.8 million. You'll have like almost $5 million in dead cap that you have to face, but you're going to save $10 million. It opens up almost $10 million of cap space now. And now all of a sudden you're sitting at like what, like $45 million, $48 million in cap space. 41 on the low end.
Certainly getting room.
Yeah. And so it really affords you the ability to kind of do what you want to do. But I don't know. Like, I guess it comes down to what do you think for 2024? Do you, one, think that the Dolphins can get a cheaper replacement for Jerome Baker that will give you comparable results? Or should I say, you know, could you actually get better without Jerome Baker? Like addition by subtraction, is there somebody that you can get that would be an upgrade over Jerome Baker while still making it fit into the salary cap? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's an exorbitant sum that the Dolphins are looking at paying for Jerome Baker. But it really does come down to the fact that what is out there that is better than Jerome Baker that is going to cost you comparable money?
Well, here's where I think I don't think that there's a lot out there that is necessarily cheaper than Jerome Baker. But the answer is, if you sign a guy, you may be able to get a guy on like a one-year deal to play for like half of that cap number for 1 year. Or you can sign a guy to comparable money that you would pay Jerome Baker, but because you're signing them to a new contract, you can do kind of like what the Dolphins are going to do with Tua and some of these other contracts, and you can mitigate that first year salary cap, which is where the big issue is, at least for the time being, is for the 2024 salary cap. And so, you know, is there a guy out there, or does this also open up the other idea, which is, well, Jerome Baker is in the prime of his career. He's your best linebacker. Can we just sign Jerome Baker to an extension and save the money in 2024 that way? My thing with Jerome Baker is that I think if you give him an extension, you're not going to extend him. I don't think he's going to take an extension from the Dolphins that's less than the contract that he just got from the Dolphins a few years ago. And you're basically paying for a guy at that point, and you're going to be paying for a guy who's then on the decline at some point in that contract. And it's going to end up hurting you down the road. And you're at the same time kind of acknowledging this guy probably is not an absolute pillar of your defense. So I feel like you can, and let's not forget that you could also draft. Like, this team doesn't like to draft players the last few years. This team is going to absolutely need to draft players, but they only have so many picks, and they're in this winning window.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ask me the question.
Because I think with Baker, there is a clear upgrade at the position, and there's a clear upgrade at the position that is available. It's Patrick Queen. The problem is that financially, that's going to be somebody who's coming in and is going to cost you more money than Jerome Baker. So is that feasible? What, Patrick Queen, you know, he's going to be what?
He's going to get
$15 million.
Yeah. I don't think the Dolphins are in that market with the guys that they've got to re-sign, with the big contracts that are coming up.
Then it comes back to the other part of this conversation, which is one that we had last week in talking about Andrew Van Ginkel, which is, you're likely at the beginning of this season missing two huge key components to your lineup, and being Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. These are guys that you might have Jalen Phillips back by the beginning of the season, but what version of Jalen Phillips is he going to be? You know, I think while, yes, Anthony Weaver is in all likelihood going to be implementing a different kind of system than what Vic Fangio was running, you know, you want to have a player with, especially that sort of Mike linebacker who's there, that's got all of that understanding of what everybody's doing and everybody's going around him. Like, it seems like he's, it seems like Baker is a guy that's going to have a lot of value to stick around.
I think that there's value in keeping him, but here's the thing. Like, are you keeping Andrew Van Ginkel and Jerome Baker because you're worried that Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips aren't going to be 100% for the first month or so of the 2024 season? And then it becomes, because if you're doing that, what you're essentially doing is you're saying, well, I need to have Jerome Baker back to have any chance of winning the Super Bowl in 20. First off, I mean, you were talking about the beginning of the year and not the end of the year, which obviously the last couple of years has been proven to be not as important. I would much rather be stronger at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. But regardless, I'm not committing a whole bunch of money to a guy that is not necessarily the key piece on the defense, or the key pieces if you want to throw Van Ginkel in there as well, strictly because I need to try to win in 2024. Because I'm not hurting myself in 2025 and 2026 to be desperate to win in 2024, because the reality of the situation is that they're going to have a narrower pathway to winning next year than they had this year. I'm not saying that it's impossible for them to be a better team next year, but in all likelihood, they are not going to be a better team. Now, I could see a pathway where the Dolphins, you know, get a little bit
better.
There's
always a pathway. There's always a pathway.
I could see a pathway where the Dolphins get a little bit better on offense in the third year of the system. The offensive line gets better. They add a tight end. McDaniel matures. Tua takes another step. The offense is better. The defense takes a step back, and the record is about the same. But Buffalo, because of, you know, they're getting older and they're getting longer in the tooth and their winning window is closing, we end up winning the division. And then we end up winning a playoff game. That would be a very significant step for this team. I don't know that it necessarily means that the team is any closer to winning a Super Bowl. Realistically, I don't think this team wins the Super Bowl in 2024. I'm not completely discounting that, but I'm not building the team to go all in 2024 at the detriment of 2025 and 2026. I would rather be smart about who I'm holding on to in 2024, use my draft picks, have the cap space in 2025 to really go all in 25 and 26, because those are really your years at that point. Because the truth of the matter is, you're giving Tua this extension. In 3 years, one of two things is going to be the case. Tua is going to be playing at a top 10 QB level, and the Dolphins are going to be firmly within their winning window. Or Tua will have flamed out, the cap hell will be hitting, and they're going to need to blow the whole thing up. So your winning window is very clear right now. Granted, if Tua ends up being the real deal, then, you know, that's going to extend things out further. But realistically, you've got about a 3 to 4 year window right now. And 2024 is probably the most difficult of those years to win. So I'm not putting everything in on this year trying to win it all in 2024. And that means if I have to move on from Jerome Baker and take a small step back on the defensive end for 1 year, I'm okay with it.
So, first of all, shout out to Hooked Up Joe on watching on the Dolphin Suck YouTube channel with this incredible comment. They may leave it to Weaver on Baker staying via an extension. Leave it to Weaver, I feel like, is something that we're going to be, that's going to have some callbacks throughout the offseason and into the next season. Love that, Hooked Up Joe. Nice. Shout out to AquaVision watching. He says hello to the chat. We love it. It's up to Crazy Dolphin. Everybody watching. Jordan Murray, JM Santos, everybody watching live in the chat. We appreciate you being with us here today. All right, Brandon, so are you getting rid of Jerome Baker?
I'm shopping him. If you can get a pick for Jerome Baker, I would love to get a pick for Jerome Baker. I don't think it's a terrible contract to trade for. I think if you're a team that is looking for a linebacker and you feel like that's a key piece that you are away, Jerome Baker doesn't have a bunch of money left on his contract. You can trade for him and give him an extension and lock him in, and not even have that big cap number. I think if you've got the cap space, it can make sense to a lot of teams. And I think you may be able to get maybe an early day three pick. Maybe you could get a third round pick. I don't think you can get a third round pick for him, but maybe you can get an early day three pick for Jerome Baker. Would you take a fourth round pick for Jerome Baker?
I'm thinking about it. Probably.
Well, let me ask you a question. What would you do with Jerome
Baker? I'd love to get up to a third round pick. That'd be great.
Well, let's say you don't trade him. Are you keeping him or are you cutting him?
Oh, God. I mean, it's so tough with the, I think the first thing you do is you try to do a little bit of more restructure, which I know you're moving things into the future, and that's going to, it's only going to set up a situation down the line, but then there's other guys that you can restructure when you get to the future. So I think you try to do that. And if you can't do that, then you gotta look at the whole thing. You gotta look at the whole picture and say, how important is this piece this season? And as you have sort of alluded to, I don't know. It's a complicated question, because while this season might not be the Super Bowl season, right, in terms of how things are setting up, if this team doesn't win a playoff game this season, I don't know how many members of the staff are going to be around much further than that. So there is certainly a lot riding on this season, even if it's not go all in time. So because of that, I think there's a world where Jerome Baker is still here. But, maybe there's a world where you decide to pay or I'll say this. If you pay Christian Wilkins, Jerome Baker is gone. I think if you don't pay Christian Wilkins, maybe Baker stays, or you try to do an upgrade. Maybe there's, if you don't pay Christian Wilkins, maybe there's money to move on from Baker and bring in a guy like Patrick Quinn. So that's I don't know. I'm of mixed opinions about this, because it's very kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. I could see the benefits of moving on from him. I could see the benefits of keeping him. And my thoughts are what they should do versus what they will do. You never know, but I don't know. My gut tells me I think we're moving on from Jerome Baker.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't see them paying him. I mean, he's at a $14.7 million cap number. I mean, you save almost $10 million by cutting him. I just don't see a way that you are going into this year paying Jerome, or, having a $14 million cap figure on Jerome Baker, because I think for sure you could get, with $14 million of cap space, you could get a couple, you could probably get two or three players in place of him. So I think you'd probably take anything that you can get for Jerome Baker. But it's always tricky, because it's always tricky when you talk about a player's trade value, because on the one hand, yeah, if I'm a team that wants Jerome Baker, and I can trade a day three pick for him and then extend him, and then I don't have to deal with that ridiculous cap number for this year, then what's the risk in it for me? But then also, if I'm that same team, I could say, well, the Dolphins for damn sure are not going to pay Jerome Baker $14.7 million this season. So why don't I just wait for him to get cut? And then I can get into a bidding war And the bidding war is not going to cost me as much as it would cost me to extend him after I traded for him, because then I'd have to extend him and he would have all the leverage in the negotiations. So I just don't know that there's a world where you're going to get much in return for Jerome Baker. So I think you got to cut him. So at that point, I think the play with Jerome Baker is you kind of shop him. You see if you can get a couple of teams that are interested and you take the best thing that you can get for him. And if you can't get anything and you need the cap space to sign somebody that you really need to sign, then you just pull the trigger and you cut him. But I think that you have enough cap space that you might be able to hold him for a while. That Jerome Baker might not be a guy that is like cut first day of league year, that this is a guy that you might hold all the way up until the draft. And maybe even after.
Yeah.
Depending on how you spend the cap space. Because like I said,
go on into the summer.
Yeah, because like I said, like the Dolphins, just by making those no-brainer moves and then extending Tua, you're going to have roughly $31 to $34 million in cap space. And if the cap actually does go to $250 million, then add $7 million to that. And you're talking about $38 to $41 million in cap space. They're not going to be necessarily pressed to just cut Jerome Baker. I think it's going to linger. They're going to see if they can get a market as they get close to the draft. And I could easily see him being a draft day trade or a trade right before the draft.
Well, so there it is. There's the Jerome Baker conversation. We're going to see how things play out. I agree with you. I think that's something that could linger on for quite a while. I think that is a domino that is going to be informed by a lot of the other decisions and how those things play out. And we've got one other player that we need to talk about on this episode of the show. But before we do that, another reminder to everybody, make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button. And also, we're floating this back out there. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I want to bring it back and let you know. If you are somebody that has been a fan of this show for a while, you've been a fan of Dolphins Talk for a while, and you've listened and you've been involved, we are considering, it's not decided one way or the other yet, but we are thinking about, still toying around with the idea of launching a Patreon for Dolphins Talk and the Same Old Dolphin Show. And we're just curious to hear what are some things that you might be interested in getting from us. More interactive stuff. Maybe it's a different podcast. I've got an idea for a podcast that I've been kicking around for a long time that I'm thinking that might be some good bonus content for people. But, you know, leave us your thoughts. Tweet at us, at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Let us know what you would find value in for a Dolphins Talk Patreon. And a reminder, this is, the price point's going to be low. We're not going to charge you through the nose or anything like that. But just kicking some ideas around. And again, I would preface that by saying none of the free stuff is going away. All the free stuff is staying. So, something to consider. And make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go ahead and smash that like button right now. As a matter of fact, we appreciate it. And if you haven't done so already, again, subscribe and follow and do all of that. Leave us a comment. Let us know what your thoughts are on Jerome Baker. And I also want you to leave us your thoughts on what the Dolphins should do with this next guy, Xavien Howard. Brain. Xavien Howard is getting up there in age, in cornerback years. His play is starting to fall off a little bit. It hasn't been a precipitous decline for Xavien Howard. In fact, I would say that this past season, the 23 season, was a bounce back year for Howard after he played all of 22 with an injury. I thought he was much closer to the Xavien Howard that we've come to know in 2023. But with Jalen Ramsey coming in and making such a strong impact, with the fact that Xavien Howard is owed so much money this year and beyond, because of the fact that Howard has been pretty clear about his reluctance to want to, he's really not open to the idea of taking a pay cut for the Dolphins. And so it leaves the Dolphins with options of what are they going to do with Xavien Howard? I think it largely, to a man, it seems like the Dolphins are going to go into the 2024 season without Xavien Howard on their roster. The question is, Brain, how the Xavien Howard exit is going to play out. Is it a trade? Is it a cut? How does that work? And Brain, you've done a little bit of the math. You've worked with the numbers. So talk to us about the complicated salary contract, salary cap situation with Xavien Howard.
Yeah, it's not really that complicated. At the end of the day, and if you really want to get into the weeds on it, I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to it already, Kyle Krabs with the Locked On Dolphins podcast really got into the Xavien Howard contract and all of the stipulations on an episode that he did last week. So if you want to look that up, highly recommend giving that a listen if you really want to understand the options that the Dolphins have and how the money is broken down and everything. But the long and the short of it is that the Dolphins have a couple of options. You could cut Xavien Howard basically right at the start of the league year and save yourself about $2.8 million against the cap because of, you know, he's going to have about a $23 million dead cap. If you do not do that, because he has a roster bonus that kicks in, I think it's like March 15th. If you cut him after March 15th, but before June 1st, or trade him in that stretch after March 15th and before June 1st, you actually take a net loss. You actually don't save any money. So if you're going to trade him for picks in this upcoming draft, then you really have a small window to do it, which is basically, you know, the start of the league year to March 15th, which I think is like basically March 13th to March 15th. You basically have to trade Xavien Howard. Otherwise, you're basically holding on to him until June 1st, when after June 1st, if you move on from Xavien Howard, whether it's a cut or whether it's a trade, then at that point you save $18.5 million against the cap. And so I think anybody that, you know, follows the Dolphins would say, well, man, if I could save $18.5 million against the cap, Xavien Howard's gone. Like, there's no way that I'm not taking that savings over keeping Xavien Howard. The problem is that you got to wait till June 1st to use that money. So it's not like you can just cut Xavien Howard or designate him as a post June 1st cut and then be able to go out and spend that money. However, we just talked about how much the Dolphins can really create all this cap space. And if they were to move on from Jerome Baker fairly early, if they made a decision on cutting him, or if they were able to get a trade on Jerome Baker fairly early, then that might make it, you know, that much easier to say, well, all right, we have this much cap space. We know that we're going to get another $18.5 million in cap space after June 1st. So we can go out and we can spend a bunch of money. We don't need to sign all of our draft picks before June 1st. And we know that when June 2nd happens, and Xavien Howard is no longer on the roster, and we have $18.5 million in cap space, now we have enough money to sign all of our draft picks and still have probably, what, like another $12, $13 million that you still have in cap space. So it does give you a lot of flexibility, and I think that's probably the route that this is going. But if the Dolphins really value getting picks this year, can they get a draft pick for Xavien Howard that would make them willing to say, we're okay with just getting about $2.8 million in cap space that we can use right now, and we get a pick in this year's draft? That's the question. Me personally, I would just take the $18.5 million rather than, like, even if it's a fourth round pick, which I'm not sold you can even get a fourth round pick. And you're certainly not going to get any better than that for Xavien Howard, because the thing with Xavien Howard is that it's not, unlike Jerome Baker, who's got 1 year of money left on his contract. Xavien Howard's got 3 years left, and they're massive paid. He's got massive amounts of cash that are owed to him. He's got, just on base salary, $15.4 million in 2024, $13.65 in 2025, and $15.15 in 2026. And he's a 31-year-old cornerback who's been dealing with injuries the last 2 years, is clearly on the decline. Nobody, like, the only way a team would trade for Xavien Howard to take on that contract is, one, they've got the cap space to be able to handle it, and two, they really feel like they're Xavien Howard away from winning a Super Bowl.
Because I could see potentially a world where the Houston Texans are interested in making that trade, and Xavien Howard goes home to Texas, and, you know, and then he moves to Texas and they do a little restructure there. You know, they move some things around to lessen some of those hits. They turn some stuff into guaranteed money, or something happens. There's a world where that could happen. But, you know, so I don't want to say it's impossible that there would be a trade. It would be, the point that you make is a good one. The team that is going to trade for Xavien Howard is a team that feels that they are right there right now. And what the Houston Texans, the reason that they're one of those teams is because they've got a rookie quarterback who is the real deal, who led them to the playoffs, who won the division for them, right? And that was a team that had a defense that needed a lot of work. And so Xavien Howard, even as Xavien Howard on a decline, is a player that could be a very big addition for that Houston Texans team. So I think, that pre-existing relationship is going to be explored a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that there's, I don't think that there's a shortage of teams that would be interested in having Xavien Howard. But even if your plan was, oh, I'm going to get Xavien Howard and then I'm going to restructure that deal so that that this year's cap number wasn't too bad. Well, then you've got even bigger cap numbers the next 2 years. And if I'm Detroit and Houston, because Mike's saying, that he could see Xavien Howard with Dan Campbell in Detroit. If I'm Detroit and Houston, am I going all in on this year when I've got a young nucleus that's building?
A nucleus.
A nucleus. Nucleus. Whatever. Am I signing up to restructure Xavien Howard again so that when he's 33 years old, I have to pay like a $25 million cap figure when I'm trying to be in my winning and in the prime of my winning window?
Listen,
and I'm like, I don't think it makes sense. Like, I don't think that the market is going to be there. And that said, I don't think that a fourth or a fifth round pick for Xavien Howard to save $2.8 million does me anything. I would take the future picks, hold on to them, and trade them after June 1st and save $18.5 million.
Sure. Well, so then I think, at the end of the day, I think both of us feel pretty strongly that the move with Xavien Howard is it's a post June 1st cut, and we're saving the money, and it's Cam Smith time.
Right. It feels like that's where we're going. I do think that with the amount of cap savings that you have there, you could address cornerback also, like in the second wave of free agency. But I also think that, I have no problem with the Dolphins taking a step back and saying, with both of these guys, with Jerome Baker and with Xavien Howard, saying, you know what? We're going to let both of these guys walk. We're going to open up a bunch of cap space. We're going to put the cap space into other positions. and we're going to take the year to evaluate what we have at those positions. And if
remember
the defense,
Channing Tindall?
What?
Remember Channing Tindall?
Yeah, and maybe we draft a guy, or maybe we bring in somebody, you know, on a one-year deal at like $5 million, $6 million, because that still ends up being a lot cheaper than Jerome Baker. Or we bring in another cornerback that we find off the scrap heap, or like we bring back Nick Needham, you know, as your, and you've got, what's his name?
Ethan Bonner,
you know, between Ethan Bonner and Nick Needham, these guys are your insurance on Cam Smith. And you go into this season and you say, this season, as far as on the defensive side of the ball, is about evaluating what we have and not just trying to put Band-Aids on things with high-priced free agents to try to stay relevant in 2024. Instead,
where have I heard that story before?
Yes. And that's why the very same old Dolphins thing to do would be to either hold on to these guys or let them walk and then replace them with other high price free agents that you end up overpaying for and then still not being able to get over the hump and then having yourself in a real salary cap hell situation. I would rather put my resources on the one place that I absolutely know we need to improve to get to the elite status that we want to get into, and that is the offensive line. I would, again, circle back. I'm bringing back Robert Hunt. I'm bringing back Connor Williams. I'm also drafting an offensive lineman early. And I'm fully investing in that because I know that if for this offense to be elite, in all likelihood, it's going to need to be because of an elite offensive line, not because of Tua, because Tua is good, but he'll never be truly elite. And so I would take the step back on the defensive side for 2024 and evaluate what I have. And you know what? Sometimes when you do that, your young players end up stepping up. So maybe Cam Smith steps up and then it's like, well, hey, we don't need to spend a bunch of money on a cornerback next year because we've got this guy on a rookie deal. Maybe Channing Tindall steps up and we don't need to spend a bunch of money on a linebacker next year because we've got this guy on a relatively cheap contract. But if he doesn't, well, then we have a clear need at that position that we can address next season.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing as we look ahead over the next, I mean, it's really going to, we're really going to feel it in the next month and a half, 2 months. It's important to view things not in the vacuum of 2024, but in the context of 25 and 26 as well. And we have seen Dolphins teams in the past, as we alluded to moments ago, put Band-Aids on things and try to make 20 and try to win now. And while 24 is going to end up being a big, big year for Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, I feel like I will actually feel better about the outlook for this team down the line if they don't go all in to try to make it happen in 24. As you said, if they take a slightly more conservative approach in how things proceed this offseason so that they are positioning themselves to make big moves in 25 and big moves in 26 so that those are the next kind of win now years. Because really, I think it's safe to say that 23 was a very much a win now year. 22 was kind of a win now year because of how the Dolphins handled it, right? Trading for Tyreek Hill, trading for Bradley Chubb, putting those new contracts together. 22 and 23 became must win years and you didn't win anything. So then you come to 24 and it's, I think you're right. I feel like The feeling is going to be from a lot of the fan base, and I will count myself in that as well. I want to see this team win, and I want to see them win immediately. And I feel like there are going to be questions asked if they don't take that next step forward and win a playoff game in 24. But understanding that in the grand scheme of things, the next step, the next time the Dolphins are going to be in really in a position to really make the big, big moves to really let the put all of the pieces in place to build what is on paper going to be a great team, that's 25, that's 26. But then again, it's not always about what's on paper. It's about what happens on the field. And if some of the personnel changes, some of the, yeah, well, that's exactly as Sturdy Finn says, why would they do that with their jobs potentially on the line? That is the problem that the Dolphins have found themselves in for so long. So I would almost say if there was some world where there was, and I don't know how open the conversations are with Steve Ross and all of that, but if there was a world where they were somehow assured that every, you know, that it's not, that this isn't it for them, if there was a world where that was possible, that you know, look, as long as you're continuing to build, and even if the team, if 24 looks similar to 23, you know, it's not great, but we understood that that wasn't going to be the year. Maybe there's a way that they can get through it. Now, obviously, if the floor bottom falls out and they collapse, obviously it's a different situation. But anyway,
I want to address this, that question again.
We're in the Miami Dolphins doom loop again, and it's only February 19th.
Well, the why would they do that with their jobs potentially on the line? Here's the thing. I believe, first off, Stephen Ross clearly believes in Chris Greer. Like, Chris Greer would not have survived as long as he has if Stephen Ross did not believe in him. I also think with what Mike McDaniel has done on the offensive side of the ball, he's improving the kind of coach that he is with, as young as he is and as innovative as he is, I think he's earned a little bit of a cushion as well. The only way that their jobs are truly on the line is if they go into this season and they say, oh, we have to win a playoff game this year. And I'm not saying that shouldn't be their goal, but if the Dolphins decide to handle this offseason as we're going all in, then yeah, absolutely their job should be on the line. Because then they are telling you, Chris Greer is telling you, that I believe this team can win a Super Bowl this year, and I don't care about the future, I need to win right now. And if that's the case, well then you need to win now or you failed. But if Chris Greer says, my plan is, I still think we can be very competitive, I still fully intend on this team being a playoff team, and I want this team to win a playoff game, but I also understand that for this team to have as good a shot as possible to win a Super Bowl in 2025 and 26 and down the road, we may need to take a little bit more of a conservative approach in 2024. I think Stephen Ross says, okay, I'm good with that, but you better win a Super Bowl by 2026. And I think that's where this thing is. These guys have hitched their wagon to Tua. They've hitched their wagon to this winning window. And I don't think they're going to change anything. I think that you've got what you've got. These guys should feel secure in their job through 2026. Barring a complete and utter collapse, they should be able to feel secure in their job. But if they're going to operate like they're in job save mode, then they're going to end up screwing the pooch, and by the time 2026 comes around, we're still going to be the same 10-7 football team that's out in the first round of the playoffs, and then they're going to get fired then.
This is a situation, while as a fan, you sit there and go, you're desperate for that. You're desperate for that next step to be taken. I think the parallel point, and if you were trying to draw a parallel between the sort of end of one era and the you know, and where things are now, I think you'd look at what the tail end of the Adam Gase era, you know, that last, where at the end of the Adam Gase era, it was like, we have to do everything now. We have to figure it out. We have to figure out how to make this happen. Right. We have to figure out how to make this work, and we're going to go all in. And it didn't work. You had terrible contracts, and that's why you ended up with the beginning of the Brian Flores era looking the way that it looked like. And I think as you look at it now, Because I saw somebody said, and a couple people have said in the chat, if they don't win this year, that it's time for a rebuild. And I'm like, this team is not in need of a rebuild. There is a difference between retooling, which is what the Dolphins are going to be doing on the defensive side of the ball, and what they had to do at the end of the Adam Gase era, which was do a complete rebuild of the team, because that team just had to be stripped down to the studs and rebuilt anew. That's not where we're at. That is not where we're at here. I know that a lot of people still have questions about the quarterback, and fairly or unfairly, they still have questions about the quarterback, and that's fine. Somebody asked in the chat if we think they're married to the quarterback. They are married to the quarterback. I would be stunned if Tua didn't have a new contract in the next couple of weeks. I think it's happening. He's getting that extension. And what that means is that by the fact that that extension is going to happen, in a lot of ways, I think it's giving the rope to Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel to play these next few years and to let's see how this thing all plays out as Tyreek Hill gets to the end of his contract and then we're building space for the next contracts that are coming up and all of that. But I think my assumption is that, like I said, unless the bottom falls out, that these pieces are going to be in place and these guys are going to get the opportunity to play a little bit of the long game here. That's at least what I think. So that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We're going to be back next week again talking about the other lingering questions, all the other guys that are out there, the Deshaun Elliotts, who else we got? We got
Deshaun Brandon Elliott, Jones. Brandon Jones. We got Eli Apple, Isaiah Wynn, Nick Needham, Raekwon Davis, Cedric Wilson, Robert Jones, Kendall Lamb.
Cedric Wilson is gone. My understanding is that he's already gone.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone. That's done. He's not coming back.
Yeah, I mean,
And by the way, I just want to put this out there. Cedric Wilson gets a bad rap. He gets crapped on because he was the big wide receiver signing on the heels of the Will Fuller signing. And Cedric Wilson, when Cedric Wilson was signed, he was going to be a very big part of this offense. But then Tyreek Hill became available and it completely changed the entire thing. So,
well, yeah, but like, and it's not Cedric Wilson's fault, because at the end of the day, like, you're Cedric Wilson, like, get paid. But yeah, like, if your plan, I get it. You signed him and then Tyreek Hill fell into your lap.
We're going to talk more about Cedric Wilson next week.
But if your plan was Cedric Wilson is going to be a big part of our offense, was that really a good plan?
Yeah, right. Well, fair enough. So we'll be back next week to talk about all those other guys, tie up all those other loose ends in terms of Dolphins on expiring contracts. And from there, we'll then look ahead to free agency. And then, yes, we'll probably even start looking at the draft. And so we'll probably have some guests come on to help us talk about the draft, because the brain and I are, as we've talked about, we've beat this drum for a long time. We're not big draft guys. We keep an eye on certain prospects and we've got ideas about certain things, but we are not the draft Knicks. So what that means is that we're going to have to rely on some friends and colleagues to come in and be the draft Knicks for us and teach us a thing or two about a thing or two, and hopefully also teach you a thing or two about a thing or two. And then we'll be off and running towards the 2024 season. So once again, subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. And yeah, we'll be back in your ears early next week. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
We're not stopping till we get 30 years of Chris Greer.